1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israel approving a Gaza deal that would free hostages and prisoners. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after the cabinet approval.
We know that it's for the benefit of Israel and the United States, for the benefit of decent people everywhere, and for the benefit of these families who will finally get to be with their loved ones.
President Trump has said he's likely to travel to Israel in the coming days. The government shut down entering day nine. Lawmakers not giving any indication that it'll end anytime soon. Next week, tens of thousands of federal employees are now expecting to not get paid. Similar to a ruling in Portland, Oregon, a federal judge in Illinois says National Guard troops from any state, including Texas, who have been deployed to Illinois, cannot deploy to Chicago. The judge saying there's no credible evidence that there is any danger of a rebellion in Illinois and no evidence that the president is unable with regular law enforcement to execute the laws of the U.S. This is ABC News. The same U.S. prosecutor that brought charges against former FBI Director James Comey now charging New York Attorney General Letitia James with one count of bank fraud. ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has more.
The indictments come just weeks after President Trump, in a social media post, publicly called on Attorney General Pam Bondi to bring charges against James and Comey, writing, "They're all guilty as hell, but nothing's going to be done."
Looks to me like she's very guilty of something.
James has been a target of the president since she won a $500 million civil fraud case that held Trump liable for overvaluing his golf courses, buildings, and a Trump Tower apartment.
Voting machine company Dominion, which was the target of false conspiracy theories in the 2020 election, has been bought by a Republican former St. Louis elections official. Fox News agreed to pay Dominion $787 million to settle a defamation suit brought by the company, and Newsmax settled a similar suit for $67 million. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Tom Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Concern about injured Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Matt LaFleur was asked why the team's place kicker, Brandon McManus, has been added to the injury list.
Brandon McManus listed on the injury report. I'm assuming it's from those tackles that he had to make in the game.
This is not from the tackles, no. Yeah, that's a major concern right now, so we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow, and, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
I asked McManus what happened to him and the injury to his kicking leg.
I was kicking, warming up. I had kickoffs earlier in the day, and then I was warming up for field goals. I kind of felt a tug against my quad. I gave it a couple minutes, tried again. Yeah, I just shut it down for the day. Yeah, I didn't want to make it worse.
Baseball, Brewers against the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. If Milwaukee wins, they advance to the National League Championship. Next week. If they lose, it's game five in Milwaukee this coming Saturday with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, an isolated shower or two, and a low in the low 50s. Sun's back for tomorrow and Saturday, highs in the mid 60s. Highs in the upper 60s and breezy with increasing clouds Sunday and another shower chance. It's 60 right now.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Frequent guest and former Republican operative Carlton Huffman joins the show to talk about all the day's headlines. Join me.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very busy show today. Jim Santel, our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. Joining us after the 9:30 news, we have a number of things to talk about with Mr. Santel, including this case against Jim Comey, including the deployment of troops onto American streets. And we're also going to learn the definition of a word.
Okay.
Plenary.
It's going to be interesting.
It should be interesting.
The accompanying audio is
something. It's something.
It will leave you speechless.
Plenary authority. What is plenary authority? We're going to learn about that with Jim Santel coming up after the 9:30 news next hour, right after the top of the hour news. Retired Major General Randy Manner is going to be joining us. He has been on the show many times before, more than 30 years in the U.S. military. He has some thoughts about the recent speech that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump made in front of our generals. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And yes, we have a clip. We have a compilation clip of some of the president's comments to our nation's generals. That will be in hour number two. Then for the last half an hour, we will lighten it up as we always do. Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director.
Yeah, there it is.
Is going to be joining us after 10:30 to talk all things sports. We won't talk a lot about yesterday's game.
It's fine. It happened.
You okay?
Yeah, because I've decided to accept reality more with a better and firmer and more adult hand than sports writers in Chicago.
Yeah, we'll have some thoughts for
good
you.
Good Lord, they're unhinged.
They're very sensitive. They're very sensitive.
I call them babies.
That's all coming up around 10:35. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Museum of What edition. So I would encourage you to stick around for that. Did want to start off with this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is from WISN. Microsoft drops Caledonia data center after community pushback. We're hearing more and more about these data centers.
Mm-hmm.
AI, artificial intelligence,
yep,
requires a lot of power.
Yes, they do.
And a lot of water.
And we have access to both of those. We also have a lot of farmland that's no longer being used. If you drive up and down, I mean, I drive up and down Kenosha to Racine to Milwaukee all the time, and there acres upon acres of land that aren't being used, that are for sale, that are being, I mean, if they're not building data centers there, they're building gigantic warehouses there.
Storage units and stuff like that. But yes, the tech giant Microsoft pulling out now from a 244-acre development near Douglas Avenue because of this pushback from the community about building a data center in Caledonia. At least some of the folks who commented in this article who live near the site. Prescott Balch says he's ecstatic. We think it's the right decision. We're not gloating because we won. We think we've come to the right conclusion for the village. This gentleman and other fellow people who live in Caledonia have spent the last 2 months forming this coalition to fight against this data center. They're worried about long-term environmental concerns.
They require a large amount of water being used every single day, taking water from Lake Michigan.
Millions of gallons. A medium-sized data center, from what I could find this morning, consumes about 110 million gallons of water per year for cooling purposes, because they have to cool all these things.
Yeah.
Larger data centers can drink up to 5 million gallons a day, or almost $2 billion, or 2 billion gallons a year, equivalent to a town of 10,000 to 50,000 people.
Yeah.
And the other thing too with these data centers is the amount of electricity that they consume, and this is a concern to folks because our grid, our power grid, was not designed for this.
Yeah.
And so, if you get a lot of these data centers in one area, I've read that Virginia in particular right now is kind of leading the way, their homeowners' electricity rates are going up.
Yeah, I mean, then, and the other thing, too, I'm looking this up right now, is the average amount of jobs, too, because data centers, as far as I know, it's not like, you know, like if a factory comes to town, they're going to employ a lot of people. It's going to be good, solid jobs
for a long time.
For a long time, I'm looking at the average data center employs dozens to a few hundred permanent staff. It's nothing to shake a stick at. That's still jobs, but it's not like they're going to be bringing in 10,000 jobs. They're not going to be bringing in a lot of contribution to the community.
Right.
They're here to take.
They're here to take our water and electricity.
And they're going to think that slapping their name on a community event, a parade, or a park, that will be like, oh, we want to give back. No, they're going to take our water. They're going to take our land. They're going to your power bills are going to go up.
Well, they're going to have to make improvements to the power grid.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need more infrastructure going into the power grid.
Yeah.
And this subsequently, as we've all seen, power companies don't tend to just suck that up themselves or cut back on executive bonuses. No, they pass that on to the consumers.
Yeah. And we also live in a state where Madison isn't big on helping to pay for things. So what portion is the community going to pay for? What portion does the state pay for? Are they going to go for federal dollars? Are there federal dollars available? I mean, these are a lot of great questions that need to be asked, because really, since the announcement of Microsoft taking over the Foxconn land or leasing it out to do their data centers, this has become a huge thing. This has become I hear lobbying firm commercials for data centers on the radio now. They want to make Wisconsin probably a Midwestern hub for data centers because the lake access. Now, actually, I didn't even say Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin or the eastern corridor of Wisconsin, that area, because there's so much lake access. I'm not against this completely. What I'm against is that they should just be able to walk in and do it. And that's why I say kudos to the people of Caledonia.
Well, and it seems that the folks in Port Washington got onto this a little bit late. Mm. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Port Washington's $8 billion AI data center now sees swell of pushback, but this is coming too late.
Yeah.
Port Washington Common Council Chamber filled up past maximum capacity at a meeting on October 7th. A lot of folks talked about they were concerned about the enormous energy pull, how much it's going to be built, about the transmission lines, about water, all of those things. But they're kind of, the project's already underway.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, where are you going to put a $8 billion data center
in Port Washington?
That's
Mayor Ted Nitzke said the company is set to break ground in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. And this is something, you know, I'm going to take this moment to focus on a point that we've made over and over and over on this show, and other people have made too. Raise your voice. Let your leaders know what you are thinking. If you live in an area that is even remotely close to the lake, you know, even I would say people in Waukesha, you're 30 minutes from the lake, but you're 30, 40 minutes from the lake, but this still affects you. And my point being is that you go to myvote.wi.gov, find out who your local leaders are. You know, we talk all the time when we're talking Congress and the senators and the president, but find out who your common council members are.
Absolutely.
Find out who your county supervisors are. If you see something like this coming on up, you call them and tell them, and you show up. You voice your opinion. We still live in a country where our voices can be heard. And these are the moments. Kudos again to Caledonia for standing up. Because you think about it, I mean, nowadays everything feels like David and Goliath.
Absolutely.
Big company comes through, $1 billion company comes through. You're like, what voice do I have? Well, here's a perfect piece of proof showing that when the people of Caledonia had a problem, they raised their voice and something was done. Is it over? I don't know. But this is proof that the people's voice can be heard.
A 5-2 vote earlier had advanced rezoning plans for the site, with the matter set to go before the village board. But after their decision by Microsoft not to pursue this, it's unknown how this will go on the pending rezoning. Mm. But the other thing I've seen in regard to the data centers and all of that stuff, one of the ways that just regular homeowners can combat this and the rising energy prices is by solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, the Trump administration has cut all the help for people who want to install solar panels. I believe that expires next year.
And if you are interested in knowing more about that before government tax credits may be going away, there are programs out there. You can find out more. You can go to rewiringamerica.org. You put in your information, like where you live, and it'll give you all of the opportunities to get yourself solar or wind or whatever. And it has rebate offer. It has information for rebate offers. It won't offer you anything directly, but this is like one hub where you can find all the ways of getting yourself maybe a little less on the grid, as far as, you know, it rhymes with Schmisconsin Penergy. But yeah, rewiringamerica.org. I'll put it in the show notes, but that's a great resource.
And if you don't know where to find the show notes, it's super easy to do. You go to our website, go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, you click on shows. That will take you to all of the shows across the network. Scroll on down to Matt Nair on Air, and there will be about 2 months worth of archived shows. You look for the date, and then Greg includes links to all the articles that we talk about if you would like to research further, and we will include that in there too, that rewire. Kurt from Eau Claire, by the way, texting in, listening on WCFW, says a data center was stopped by citizens in Menominee, Wisconsin.
Great.
In Dunn County. Yep. So, again, you can make a difference. We are not completely without options.
And at the local level is where it affects you the most.
That's where things happen the most.
Yeah,
it is. Like you said, your common councils and your village boards and all that stuff.
These are people you can call at home and they'll answer. If they're worth their salt as far as being a public servant, they're going to answer those calls or call you back or email you back. But yeah, contact them. Get in touch with them. Let your voice be heard. That is our power.
Myvote.wi.gov. All right. When we return, reckless driving continues to be a nightmare in the city of Milwaukee. So what is the answer? There's a new suggestion out. We'd love to know what you think about red light cameras. That's coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Yeah! You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Fantastic show. You should definitely listen if you're busy on Saturday mornings, and I know a lot of folks are, and you're running the kids around and doing errands and things. You can listen to all of our shows as a podcast.
Absolutely. You can do it in two ways. You can go to civicmedia.us/shows, find the show you're looking for, like Matinair on Air.
There you go.
And you can find a backlog of about 2 months of our shows, and you can download those directly to your device, listen to them whenever you would like. Or you can go to your podcast distribution center of choice and find us there and subscribe to the show as a podcast. And enable that download when new episodes become available feature, because then every time a new episode becomes available, which actually is twice a day, three times if you subscribe to also This Shouldn't Be a Thing's mini podcast episodes. And that way you can listen to us every day, listen to all the hours and catch yourself up.
When it's convenient for you.
Exactly. It's a great way for you to take us with you. That's going civicmedia.us/shows or going to wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. And I will make this request. If you feel like we deserve it, give us a 5-star review, because what that does is it will help us with ratings and visibility. If more people know about us, more people give us 5-star reviews, it pushes us up in the favorabilities and maybe even into the top something or other. I don't know. But yeah, only if we deserve 5 stars. If it's anything less than 5-star review, you take those thoughts, put it into an email, and I'm going to give you an email address. Okay, so it's calvinb.boardlord@angelfire.us/gov/definitely not a scam email dot
net
biz.
Okay. And super easy to give us. Yeah, just send. That's where you send your complaints. It's really, really easy. We love them. Okay, this is not a laughing matter. What's been going on in Milwaukee, and it's happening for a decade, if not longer. Mm-hmm. Because when I worked on Capitol Drive, I saw it every day. The reckless driving, and the number now of fatalities we have because of reckless drivers, just keeps growing, and so. They've tried bump outs. They've tried traffic calming measures.
Traffic calming.
Now the city of Milwaukee is considering red light cameras.
Yeah.
If this is a bipartisan bill, if it would pass, drivers who run red lights or speed more than 15 miles an hour over the limit could get tickets by mail.
I got one of those once.
You got a ticket by mail? Did you ignore it?
In Chicago.
Oh,
because of a red light camera.
Yeah, my husband used to work in Chicago, and he had the same thing. They can be very twitchy, because Paul used to complain about if you went slightly over the line at an intersection, it will nail you for that.
I am of two minds on this one. And actually, just so everyone knows, we have Dan Schaefer on the show every Friday in the second hour. And this is something he said he wanted to talk about as well. So we'll expand upon this topic with him tomorrow. I'm of two minds with this. I personally feel like this is going to ding a lot of people who make simple mistakes. And like you said, if you go up to the line and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. And it's just another annoyance in someone's life to either have to go to court or just
to fight it,
pay for it. And it's on your record and it dings your insurance. I think the people that they want to target, and by the way, I would love to see Kenosha and Racine maybe adopt something similar, because while I won't disagree, Milwaukee has a reckless driving problem. Kenosha and Racine are developing their own.
They're runners up.
They're speeders up is what they are, because it's, you know, I haven't seen accidents, but that doesn't mean you don't do anything.
Right.
The people they want to target, I don't think we'll care that they get a ticket. If you are running red lights and you are speeding at such a, I mean, yes, some people might be like, oh, geez, oh, darn it. But I think that when we talk about reckless driving, there's like 2-3 places everyone talks about. And I feel like a lot of the individuals who drive at that speed and that level of recklessness, they're not going to care about tickets. They're not going to care about repercussions. They're just going to do their thing. So I don't know what the true fix is here.
Well, yes, and I don't either. And there's two mindsets too about police chases.
Mm-hmm.
And some have called now for police chases to stop because reckless drivers don't care who they kill when they're running from the police. But at the same time, there are those who say because at one point Milwaukee did stop police chases, that emboldened bad guys to take off because they knew they weren't going to get chased.
Yeah. It's really, I'm all for the discussion. I'm all for the bump outs, traffic calming. I honestly try everything if you can, but we also have to realize at some point there's just some people in this world who don't care. And that's a different discussion. Let's make it safe. Absolutely. As I get older, Jane, you know me, I only drive, like, I think I do no more than 10 on the freeway over. I don't even like doing that. And I rarely do 5 over on regular streets because I would rather be safe and get to where I need to go. And if you're annoyed by that, that's your problem. But yeah, it's a big conversation that affects more than just the big cities too.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, as I've often tell my husband, if everyone just drove like me, there would be no problem. just all drive like me.
If you ever see Jane, ask her about her highway anxiety driving.
But you know I'm not speeding. You know I'm not going 90.
Is she okay? She's going 7.
When we return from the news, Jim Santel will be here from Amicus, a law review. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Israel approving a Gaza deal that would free hostages and prisoners, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after the cabinet approval.
We know that it's for the benefit of Israel and the United States, for the benefit of decent people everywhere, and for the benefit of these families who will finally get to be with their loved ones.
President Trump has said he's likely to travel to Israel in the coming days. The government shut down entering day 9. Lawmakers not giving any indication that it'll end anytime soon. Next week, tens of thousands of federal employees are now expecting to not get paid. Similar to a ruling in Portland, Oregon, a federal judge in Illinois says National Guard troops from any state, including Texas, who have been deployed to Illinois, cannot deploy to Chicago. The judge saying there's no credible evidence that there is any danger of a rebellion in Illinois and no evidence that the president is unable with regular law enforcement to execute the laws of the U.S. This is ABC News.
Concern about injured Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Matt LaFleur was asked why the team's place kicker, Brandon McManus, has been added to the injury list.
Brandon McManus listed on the injury report, I'm assuming it's from those tackles that he had to make in the game.
It is not from the tackles, no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now, so we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow, and you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
I asked McManus what happened to him and the injury to his kicking leg.
I was kicking, warming up. I had kickoffs earlier in the day, and then I was warming up for field goals. I kind of felt a tug against my quad. I gave it a couple minutes, tried again. Yeah, I just shut it down for the day. Yeah, I didn't want to make it worse.
Baseball, Brewers against the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. If Milwaukee wins, they advance to the National League Championship next week. If they lose, it's Game 5 in Milwaukee this coming Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's called show business for a reason, and oftentimes the business part is what drives creative or really talented people away, such is the case with actor Chauncey Leopardi, best known for his role as Squints in The Sandlot. The actor recently sat down with People.com and said that as an actor, it was the constant auditions and the grind that made him step back from the biz. These days, Leopardi is busy raising his 5 children and running a cannabis business, saying it was a pretty smooth transition as he always had a life outside Hollywood. He also added that he really enjoyed his life as an actor. His credits also include Freaks and Geeks and Father of the Bride. Here's another really cool thing that came out of the interview. Squints says he still keeps in touch with Smalls, Benny the Jet, and Ham. He says they have multiple group chats and not only text quite often, but actually see each other at sports signings and events. Great story. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, an isolated shower or two, and a low in the low 50s. Sun's back for tomorrow and Saturday. Highs in the mid-60s. Highs in the upper 60s and breezy with increasing clouds Sunday and another shower chance. Right now, it's 58.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Jennifer Sullivan of the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We break down what's going on with MAGA's refusal to talk about making healthcare affordable for Americans under the ACA.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
Every time you say hello to the live stream, I think about Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride. Hello, lady. So every time you say that, I'm like, hello, live stream.
Hello, live stream. He joins us every Thursday at this time. He's the host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. It is a great, great show. I highly encourage you to listen.
Yes.
Download it as a podcast if you can't listen on Saturday mornings. Jim Santel is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Jane, Greg, always a delight to be with you, and any segment that begins with a reference to The Princess Bride is one that I want in on, just to let you know that.
So absolutely.
All your rule of law, all your justice-related issues, they all derive from the script for The Princess Bride.
I think we all agree on that. Inconceivable!
You go. Right? Boy, and is that an applicable word these days. But let's start, Jim, with talking about the federal judge in Chicago today who is having a hearing on the president's use of sending in the military to what right now are predominantly democratically run cities.
Right,
exactly. So where are we with this?
Where are we? You know, this is an important day in the rule of law because, by my count, somewhere in about the next 90 minutes, there are going to be two hearings in America. They're very important on this issue, both of them 11 a.m. our time, 2,000 miles apart. One of them, Jane, is what you just mentioned. That is a hearing in front of Judge April Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. She is a federal district court judge. She is in the Northern District of Illinois. She's in the Dirksen Building. She was appointed by the president. Lifetime tenure, and earlier this week she was assigned to this case involving the challenge to everything that's going on in Chicago. This notion of bringing in again the National Guard from places local and not so local, and she said, you know, I want some briefing on this. I want the lawyers to tell me what's going on here. So she established a briefing schedule. They're supposed to submit all their papers by last night, and yes, indeed, in about less than 90 minutes, she's going to be opening a hearing in Chicago on all of these issues. Interestingly, while she said, you know, I'm not going to preclude the president from going ahead right now, I would recommend that you wait until after the hearing before you do anything, which is kind of a not all that strong order from a judge, but plainly sending some signals, even as we know, even as of this morning, reporting, obviously, that literally hundreds of National Guard troops perched, ready to move into Chicago, awaiting that result. Again, 2,000 miles to the west, you have in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. This comes up from a judge, another federal district court judge. Her name is Karen Immergut, I-M-M-E-R-G-U-T. She is the one who was very busy last weekend when she was presented with a like lawsuit there in Oregon, in Portland. And she determined that this is an overreach by the president. You can't do this, Mr. President. Nothing gives you authority, constitutional, statutory. Knock it off. Do not bring in National Guard soldiers, Oregon National Guard. And this strikes me, what happens next strikes me, Jane, is one of those things that you and, of course, Greg and all your listeners will be outraged by. My guess is Stephen Miller back in the White House looks at this and he says something like, she told us we couldn't bring in Oregon National Guard.
Right.
What about from some other states, right? Let's bring in
Texas.
Exactly. Bring in Texas. Let's do it. Try to do an end around this judge, which I can tell you, federal judges just love that when you try to twist their words. I like to say I never did that, never even thought about doing that. And so sure enough, she gets on the phone on Sunday night. Sunday night, she says, everybody back in. Let me be very clear about this. Not only is the Oregon National Guard not coming into Portland, but if there's a National Guard from any state in the union, any place in the galaxy that may have a National Guard, they're not to come in to our city. Knock it off. Stay away. And that is the order, of course, that Stephen Miller and folks at the White House have now appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they're having an emergency hearing on it almost at exactly the same time, within the next hour and 15 minutes or so, as the judge in the district court in April Perry, district court in Northern Illinois, is having. So we're having these two very similar, if not exactly the same issues, different jurisdictions, testing the president's capacity to do this. And I know what all your listeners and you will ask next, which is, okay, federal judges say, can't do this, you've got no power. We now ask this question in America of the constitutional crisis, and you shrug your shoulders just so appropriately, Jane, because the question is, does the president care? Does the attorney general care? And if a federal judge says don't do something, are we going to follow it? That's authoritarianism. That's a constitutional crisis of the highest order, and we'll see what happens again, if this White House decides to take on one or two federal judges over this issue.
Well, and again, who's going to stop them? If, right, you know, the court says you cannot do this and Trump says, I don't care. And he just goes and does it anyway.
And I just want to point out to the many, many examples going back quite a few years now of their shirking the court's subpoenas, testimony, yes, things of that nature. Right. I mean, straight out lying under oath, if you ask me, because like they're just lying all the time. So for them to disregard the courts now is nothing new. It's completely on brand. And I think it's interesting that she had to call them back in to tell them, look, I have to clarify because that's what they also do. If you say one thing, they say, well, you didn't say this.
Exactly.
That is the logic of a 9-year-old child.
Yes.
And
yes,
if you say, and what's funny, James, Jim, and I don't mean to make it a joke, really. It's the fact that you say, not another National Guard in the galaxy. They'll be like, well, what about in the universe? We'll find, you know, that's how far they take it. Exactly. And they don't care. Right. They're going to do whatever they want. And I just, from a legal standpoint, Jim, I ask you this, who has the power then to say no? Is it the governor? Is it honestly maybe a general who says, I will not do this? Right. I mean, they will be punished for that, of course. But at this point, it feels like if we can't have the courts take care of this, or if they're not going to listen to it, who is the next level of dissenters who can actually have a little bit of power against what is growing to be an authoritarian rule?
Right. Invoking a former president, much admired by our current president, Andrew Jackson, saying with respect to the Trail of Tears, you and whose army,
yep,
Supreme Court, right? And so is it going to get to that? And yes, I think both of those, we know that Pritzker, we know that Gavin Newsom out in California, they are hot about this issue. That's a very superficial way of describing it, but they're angry. And again, to the extent that this White House doesn't, if they don't follow these orders, they will issue their own orders. And yes, governors do have authority to do this. And yes, indeed, all those folks who were gathered at Quantico a week or so ago, who stood there stone-faced, we know what they're all thinking. Yes, they cannot say something out loud, but they're also required. They took an oath of office, Greg, to the to the Constitution. And when a federal court tells the military, as they sometimes do, do this, do not do this, they're also obliged to follow that. And balancing what they know is an unconstitutional directive from a president who is exercising powers he does not have against judges who are having reasonable hearings, making these determinations, invoking the rule of law. I think it may come to that finally, where you've got generals saying, in pursuit of my oath of office, I am going to choose the rule of law. And we hope it doesn't. I mean, here's the other spectrum. We've got these hundreds of National Guard right now perched outside of Chicago waiting for this hearing this afternoon. Please tell me we're not going to have armed conflict on the street between what? National Guard members and domestic police? I don't even want to raise the specter of that. That can't be in America, can it? And yet it's being set up, even the fact that I say that, hopefully just rhetorically, without any reality here, but it underscores the fact that as we think about what are the remedies out here, what could happen next if this goes so badly, it's all put in motion by a president who has no respect and no understanding fundamentally of how this works. He doesn't know about government. He's never read the Constitution. He doesn't know anything about his powers and the things that are being discussed before the Supreme Court. He picks up little bits and pieces. I know, Jane, you talk about, you know, the references to, you know, getting rid of the First Amendment and free speech, that kind of thing, which we should chat about as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what that means. He doesn't know, but somebody told him that, and so he throws that out. The recklessness, and also say one more thing, and then I will be quiet, and that is just this, the cynicism. We've talked about this before, because what fundamentally he's relying upon is the notion that Americans, in his mind, are stupid, and they do not know how things work, and they do not know what the institutions require, and in fact, Americans do. I'm not saying they were able to teach civics courses at the college level tomorrow, but Americans do. The cynicism from this president, believing that people will believe whatever he says as gospel truth, it is simply not the case. But he relies upon it, and we will see. It's going to be tested maybe as soon as this afternoon, tomorrow, over the weekend. We are at a critical juncture right now in America, as we have been. Frankly, since certainly March 15th, but January 20th of this year.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Jim Santel is our guest. He's host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. I highly encourage you to check it out. We are talking about two cases that are being heard in court this morning, different parts of the country, about whether or not Donald Trump has the authority to send in National Guard troops into states which are not requesting them. And I guess one of the big areas of frustration, Jim, is, and I've seen reporters on the ground in Portland, there is a one block area where this ICE facility is located, where actually I've seen videos of people dressed up like dinosaurs dancing. So when I see the president said yesterday, all the burned out cities and all the burned out stores and everyone has to put wood up over their windows to prevent them from getting smashed. That is not what is happening on the ground in Portland.
And the governor told him as such that this is not happening, where he responded, that's not what my people are telling me. So now I want to connect that to your point, Jim, of he doesn't know what he's talking about. He says the last thing someone says to him, and he is told by the highest official in the state, no, these aren't a problem. He says, well, that's not what I've been told. Are you telling me that I'm being told other things?
Yes. Yes. They are feeding you things Mr. President, to keep you happy that will support your own narrative. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. He's like a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
We have to give him something, give him another cookie so he doesn't have another tantrum.
Right.
Or he's going to embarrass us in the store. That's where we are. Right. Among the many other things he does not know, apparently, this is kind of a problem among some of his cabinet members, and including Stephen Miller, who does not know or does know what the word plenary authority means. This came up, and this is kind of an important thing. We are going to talk about that with Jim Santel.
We have an audio clip. It's amazing.
We do have an audio clip. You may want to look it up while we go to break. Plenary authority.
Yeah.
And just see if you can find a definition for that. And then we're going to talk about Pam Bondi's appearance before the House committee. She had all her insult lines written down like a bad comic.
Hack!
Jim Santel is here. We're going to continue with him. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on this Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
During Medicare's open enrollment,
It's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children. Right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text, the number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About an hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Museum of What edition. You want to stick around for that. That is coming up around 10:53. Right now, we're joined by Jim Santel, our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. We wanted to talk about words, Jim, and what words mean. We have a clip from Stephen Miller's right-hand guys, from President Trump's right-hand guy, Stephen Miller, appearing yesterday on the network. It was on CNN.
It was on CNN, yes.
Let's play this clip for Mr. Santel, please.
You've called the district judge's ruling blocking the deployment of National Guard in Oregon legal insurrection. Does the administration still plan to abide by that ruling?
Well, the administration filed an appeal this morning with the Ninth Circuit. I would note the administration won an identical case in the Ninth Circuit just a few months ago with respect to the federalizing of the California National Guard. Under Title 10 of the U.S. Code, the president has plenary authority.
What?
Stephen?
What happened?
Hello?
Stephen?
Hello? Stephen Miller. Oh, nice.
Stephen Miller went into buffering mode.
Stephen Miller was buffering there. After those words came out of his mouth, it was almost like he realized, I shouldn't have said that out loud. What does that mean, Jim Santel?
Yeah, somebody probably in the West Wing there was bandying that about, as I'm sure they do. It is comes from Latin. It's one of those things that lawyers like to bandy about when they talk about the full, complete, unfettered authority of a government entity. And so what he basically said is, we have a king. We have an unbridled executive who can do whatever he wants.
Anything.
I'll give you some I'll give you some examples, but there are a couple of them in the Constitution. Maybe it's the only one. President has plenary authority to issue pardons. We know that. Unfettered. He can do whatever he wants. It may well be that Ghislaine Maxwell will sometime soon be the recipient of one of those. Now the Supreme Court has denied her appeal. But you know what else is a plenary authority, Stephen? Is the Commerce Clause also establishes the right of the Congress, not the president, to establish things related to trade. There's another word for you, Stephen. And that includes a thing called tariffs. That's also a plenary authority.
What?
Right? Full complete. Right? You know, so lots of education going on here. It is, Jane, Greg, listeners of yours, it's a part of this same mantra that goes back to this thing we talked about. I know it sounds very wonky. The unitary executive theory comes out of Project 2025. Mm-hmm. It's this notion that the president has powers well beyond what the Constitution says. Yes, with respect to other agencies that are not governed by the executive branch, can do whatever he wants. But basically, it is an unfettered executive. And you know where else it comes from? You know where else the word plenary comes from? It comes from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who you may recall, we talked about this a lot, July 1 of last year, not this past summer, issues that order in Trump versus United States. Yes, giving him immunities from criminal prosecution, but also saying we got to have a president who is powerful and muscular and be able to respond quickly and can't be annoyed and diverted by things like,
law,
criminal prosecutions and that law stuff that you people talk about.
That doesn't allow him to pump his plumpy muscles over America.
There you go. Right.
Well, and was the point I was going to make is that the Supreme Court has given him the right. The fact that Stephen Miller tripped up or anything, it's like, just admit it, dude. That's what you want.
Right. Exactly. And again, he recognized plainly what he is saying, which is he's declaring what I think many of us believe, that we're in an authoritarian system right now, constitutional crisis in the rearview mirror, but probably not authorized to go on CNN and say that out loud, because we're still engaging this facade that we will follow what district court judges and appeals court judges are doing, when in fact everybody has said, we don't care so much. Emile Beauvais, one of our favorites right now in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, told so those folks inside the Department of Justice, judge tells you what to do. I won't use the word on this fine radio program, but he basically said, blank you. That's what you tell federal judges. That's the tone of this administration. That's what Stephen Miller was really talking about yesterday.
Yeah, it's Donald Trump's world, and we just get to live in it. Because they're his agencies. They're not the United States agencies anymore. They're his agencies, and they do what he wants.
Yeah. There's a wonderful breakdown of the unitary
unitary executive theory, right? I'm ashamed to say that that comes off my tongue now. It shouldn't, right? It should be obscure and nobody should know about it. Right?
There's a great breakdown on Last Week Tonight when they talk about Bill Barr, because he was a big pusher of this back in the day too. This is not a new thing, by the way. I think he's seeing it happen in front of him, and it's like, this is not what I even wanted, this version at least.
Bill Barr.
Because he wanted to be the guy behind the guy, and he's not anymore.
Not anymore.
But it's a great breakdown, the history and what it all entails, and it really describes what's happening now. So,
right, be careful what you maybe wish for, what you plan for, because sometimes you can't control what happens, and that's what we're in right now.
We're not going to have time, Jim, to play the entire clip of Adam Schiff mentioning all of the things that Pam Bondi refused to answer when she appeared before a House committee. It was unbelievable. Have you ever seen any attorney behave like that in front of a House committee?
Never. I'm going to say it's unprecedented, not only not to respond. You can say things like, you know what, I can't talk about that. Can we talk about that in camera? That's sensitive, that sort of thing. But to refuse to answer any questions and then go on the attack and say, well, you know, you've got that bad thing in your history. This was a political event. horrified, horrified that an attorney general, unlike any other attorney general in history, would behave that way. She did it just yesterday.
She essentially did an hour of, that's what you said, what am I? It was unbelievable.
Yep.
Jim Santel hosts Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. He joins us every Thursday. Thank you so much, Jim. We will see you next week. We got news coming up next. And then when we return, retired Major General Randy Manner is joining us. Going to be a great conversation. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A U.S. official telling ABC News that U.S. troops will monitor the Gaza ceasefire from Israel. U.S. Central Command is establishing a coordination center in Israel following the agreement between Hamas and Israel, officials stressing that no U.S. military personnel will be deploying to Gaza. In Washington, no sign of any movement to end the government shutdown. Republican Congressman Mike Lawler says Democrats who are pushing to reinstate Medicaid and ACA funding own that shutdown.
We can negotiate on these issues. We can find solutions to the problems facing the American people, but you don't do it at the end of a barrel of a gun.
The same U.S. prosecutor who brought charges against one of President Trump's enemies just 2 weeks ago has charged another. New York Attorney General Letitia James charged with bank fraud. This just 2 weeks after former FBI Director James Comey was charged with lying to Congress. A previous prosecutor was removed by President Trump after refusing to prosecute James. This is ABC News. A federal judge.